Well, I invite you to turn with me to the book of Mark. We are in Mark chapter 4. We are going to be looking at verses 1 through 20 again. This time we're going to be looking at more in depth at two specific soils here. And so the title of the sermon is called Hard Soils and the Seed. So let us give attention to the reading of God's word. We will start in Mark chapter 4, verse 1. Again, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land, and he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprung up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.' And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables, and he said to them, 'To you it has been given the secret of the kingdom, but for those outside everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand. These they should turn and be forgiven.' And he said to them, 'Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And when they have no root in themselves, but endure for a little while, then, when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it, and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. This is God's holy and inspired word. May he add his blessing to it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have given us ears to hear your word, that we, not by our own doing or anything, Lord, but by your grace as a gift. Lord, so today we pray as your word is preached that it would fall on good soil. We pray that you would give us ears to hear, that you would illumine our minds to understand it, that you would impress Christ to us, Lord, and that we could then, having embraced it, want to put it into practice, Lord. So Lord, we pray that Christ be magnified today in his holy name. Amen. Well, we all can testify and understand that it's possible to hear, but not fully understand. Not fully let it sink in, not fully listen. You know, maybe some of you have been in class one time, and you're in class, you hear the teacher teaching, but then you're daydreaming about something else. You hear what someone is saying, but you're not letting it sink in. You're not letting it take root. Hopefully that doesn't describe you right now. But in our passage, we're going to see that that is possible as well. And in fact, we're going to see several different receptions to the Word of God. We're going to see that it is possible to hear God's word, but not really embrace it. And in our text, we're going to see that the condition of the soil determines the fruitfulness or lack thereof of the seed. So just to review of where we have been and what we saw last time. Last time, we did see about the seed and the good news of the kingdom. We saw that the seed is the gospel. It is the good news that is proclaimed. It is the word of God. In verse 14, it says, the sower sows the word. 1 Peter says, since you have been born again, not by perishable seed, but of the imperishable through the living and abiding word of God. So the gospel, the word of God, is the seed. And the gospel then, it gives us the picture of a seed because a seed, like it contains life, the gospel is likened to a seed because it can sprout life. So the word of God comes to us and as a seed, and it can sprout if it lands on the good soil. Now, we also see the sower. Christ is the chief sower here. He is the one who has been advancing his kingdom. As you recall, he's been proclaiming, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The gospel, the time has been fulfilled. Repent and believe in the gospel. And so Christ has been proclaiming. He has been sowing seeds, if you will. And as he's been doing it, he's been seeing different receptions. Some have followed him for all different reasons, some for his miracles, some because they heard his mighty authoritative preaching. So he's getting all sorts of followers, but there's different receptions to God's word. And so we see the parable here. And so Christ is likening himself to the sower. But not only that, everyone who proclaims the gospel in some sense is a, we could say, lesser sower. So the seed is the gospel, the sower is the one who proclaims the gospel, and all the hearers are the different soils. So the seed, as we talked about last time, is cast indiscriminately onto the various soils. The sower isn't a soil inspector, only to do it in the good soil, but he casts it all on all the soils. So we see Christ is the sower. He is the chief sower. But all those who proclaim, in a sense, are a sower. Now, the soils, last time we saw, are the condition of the heart. The condition of the heart. In Matthew 13, 19, it says, anyone who hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away, what has been sown in his heart. So Christ explains the parable. He says, well, if the seed falls on this kind of ground, on the pathway, the hard soil, the hard ground, but what is sown in his heart. So the soil is the heart. The soil is the heart. So whenever the word goes out, there's always some kind of response we've seen. There's no neutrality. You can't be neutral to this. You either accept it or reject it. Now, it may seem like there might be some who accept it at first, but later on, with time, will show that it's not truly faith. So what we're going to see is what you do with the word of God reveals the state of your heart. It reveals the state of your heart. And as we looked at last time, hearing is really emphasized. In fact, it's talked about 13 times in this passage. Each soil hears the word but responds differently. So as we looked through this last time, we said, what soil are you? So be asking that at the same time. But also, this helps us understand evangelism. This helps us understand evangelism because as we're proclaiming, as we're sowing seed, we need to understand there are going to be different responses to the message that is heard. One person said this, the details of the parable indicate that a good crop depends entirely on the soil. And this configuration suggests that the parable is not simply describing the miraculous harvest of the kingdom, something pious Jews took for granted, but the kind of reception the kingdom receives. The sowing of the seed reveals the nature of the soil, whether it will produce a harvest or not. So the big idea for today is this. As a seed of the gospel is sowed indiscriminately, sometimes it falls on hard soil that may even sprout for a time, but then dies in time, which indicates the hard state of the heart, which needs to be made new in order to be fruitful. So three ways we're going to see this. First, we're going to remember the purpose of parables. Just by way of quick review, we're going to recall that. Then we're going to look in depth of the pathway soil. And then we're going to see the stony soil. So let's consider the first point briefly by way of review, since we did dive into this last time. And so I would encourage you to go back and listen to the previous week's message. But let us dive in and just remember the purpose of parables. So Jesus has started preaching in parables. He was preaching plainly and clearly, and now he's preaching in parables. And so we read this in verse 10. And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables and said to him, to you it has been given the secret to the kingdom. So his disciples came and they asked him, Jesus had just told this parable, and they came to him and they said, what does this mean? You know, what does this mean? And we know in other accounts of the Gospels of this parable, they come and they say, why are you speaking in parables? Why parables? You were clearly speaking to them plainly, but now why parables? And Jesus says, to you it's been given the secret. So he says, the reason you guys understand, the reason you hear is not because you're such a good person, not because you're so smart and more clever than everyone. It's because it's been given to you. In other words, it's a gift. This is something God has chosen to do for you as a gift. It's been given. So sometimes, when you receive the word of God, we need to realize it's not because we were so clever. It's because God has given it to us. And he talks about the secret of the kingdom of God. So this has been veiled throughout the Old Testament. It has been promised. Now it's here. And the secret is that the king is Jesus Christ. His kingdom is at hand. It's advancing. And it's advancing through this gospel message that is proclaimed. And as it is, he says, to you, this has been revealed. It's been made known. So, in a sense, this parable, we have heard it's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, right? We've heard that's what parables are. But last time, as we saw, it's a little bit more than that. Parables did convey truth. So here it says, he says to the disciples, he says, to you it's been given the secret. To you truth is being revealed. I've chose to give this to you. But then notice we also see that parables are also used to conceal. Look at the text. It says, but for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. So Jesus is explaining, here's the reason I'm teaching in parables right now. He says, to you it's been given. I want you to understand this truth. I want to explain something to you. And he does go on to explain to them, but not to the crowd. The crowd, all they heard was, hey, there was these soils, the seed fell, here's the effects. If you have an ear, hear. And they probably walked away a little confused, but that was for good reason. But for those who were on the inside, the disciples, he's given them the ability to understand. He's opened their eyes. He's explaining the truth to them by way of parable. But for everyone on the outside, those who are not part of his kingdom, those who have not embraced him by faith, those who maybe just followed him because they were impressed with his miracles, the crowd, the masses. So for everyone on the outside, it's in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive. Well, Jesus, don't you want your people to understand and to see and to perceive and to come to you and repent? Well, it's a good question. And as we saw last time, the context helps us understand this. Recall, Jesus has been speaking plainly. He's been doing miracles. He's healed the sick. He's been casting out demons. He's healed a paralytic. He cleansed the leper. He's been doing all these things, all these miraculous things. He's been teaching clearly. He's been going through the Old Testament and explaining, here's how it all points to me, he says. But we saw as that was happening, the Jewish leaders were growing more and more hostile against Jesus because as he was teaching with authority, he was confronting their traditions and their legalism. They didn't like that, and they eventually grew into a hatred of Jesus to want to put him to death. So they saw all these things, and they concluded, well, he's not doing this because he has the power of God. He's doing this because he's doing it by the power of Satan. And so Jesus says, when you have come to that point, when you've come to that point, now there's judgment. Now I'm no longer going to teach to you plainly. Now I'm teaching in parables, and it's a way to conceal. Notice the text. He says, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. So while it's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, while it teaches truth, it's also an act of judgment to those who are unbelieving. It's to confuse, so they do not understand. For some people, it brought light and truth, but for others, the unbeliever brought darkness and judgment. In Matthew 13, it says, he told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in three measures of flour, and it was all leavened. And so as he's telling this parable, it says, why? All these things Jesus said to the crowds in parables. Indeed, he said nothing to them without a parable. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter what has been hidden since the foundation of the world. And the purpose is to conceal from those who are unbelieving as a way of judgment for those who have rejected him, for those who have concluded this isn't of God, it's of Satan. So now we see a shift in the way he's been preaching to now he's preaching in parables. And so as we've seen the parable. We know why he's teaching in parables. He's to reveal truth, but he's also to conceal truth to those who do not see. So now let's consider the soils. We're going to look at just two today. Consider the pathway soil. So look at verse 3. He says, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path. And the birds came and devoured it. So again, we're confronted. Listen, behold. So he's saying, listen up, this is important. A sower went out to sow. And notice it says, he sowed some seed fell along the path. Notice it says along the path here. Some translations might say alongside the path, and that kind of gets at the impression that you have this path, and then on the side here you had some seed. But that's not what's being conveyed here, actually. The word here for along can also mean on or upon. And so consider like on top of the path. And this is what I believe is portrayed here. And the reason is Luke gives the account. He says, as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot. So in order for something to be trampled, you have to have it on the path because that's where people walk. So the path is where people walked. It was hard. And I talked about last time the walking through my trails up in the mountains, there's these well-trodden paths that are hard, and then nothing grows on them, but on the sides you have everything that grows. And that's because it's hard. It's been trampled upon. And so nothing can grow on it. If there's a seed, it's just going to get crushed. And that's what Jesus says is the first soil. As he sowed, some seed fell along the path. And so the path is there. If a seed falls along the path, it's going to get trampled. It's going to get crushed. The path is something that is uncultivated. It is hard. You're not going to have much luck if you just throw a seed on there and hope it to sprout. The roots can't dig down. Nothing, no soil is on top of it. It's not a great place to plant something. And so, nevertheless, the seed falls on the path. So he's saying, hey, as he's sowing, the sower is casting indiscriminately on all the various soils. He's tossing it out, and one seed falls on this path where people are walking. It gets trampled upon. The soil's hard. And not only that, look at the text, and the birds came and devoured it. So the birds came. They're following behind the sower, and they see the food of the seed, and they're like, oh, I'm taking that. I'm snatching that. That's a meal for me. But he says the seed, rather than being planted, is taken by the birds and it doesn't have any chance. Just like you would throw bread to a seagull and they just come desperately, maybe even other seagulls come. So what these birds were doing when the seed was cast on the path. It doesn't have a chance. It's not going to sprout because it's on a hard path. It's rock hard. It's going to be crushed and trampled. And not only that, a bird's going to come and snatch it away. Now notice Jesus' explanation for that. He explains it to the disciples. He says, to you it has been given the secret here. I'm going to tell you. I'm going to reveal the truth here. But for the crowds, he did not tell them. He just said, here's what it is. If you have an ear to hear, hear. So understanding the purpose of parables, Jesus goes on to reveal the truth to those whom he chooses. Notice what he says in verse 14. The sower sows the word. So again, the word, the seed is the word of God. Verse 15, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. So notice first that these hearers, they're the ones along the path. They're the uncultivated people. They're those who are not ready to receive the word of God. It's not those who've prepared. They simply just don't care. Notice it says, when they hear, Satan immediately comes, takes away the word, and that is sown in them. So this is the path that is hard. This is the path that doesn't have a chance. This is the path that is not cultivated. And so when a seed comes, it doesn't have a chance. A bird's going to come and snatch it away. So this is the person who doesn't care about the word of God, who might hear it, but doesn't care and isn't impressed by it. It's not a priority for them. They have a bunch of other cares in this world they rather concern themselves with. This is the heart that has been neglected, that is not open to God. In fact, it's probably hostile to God. Not only is their heart uncultivated, but like a trodden path, it's hard. It's hard, and so roots cannot go down from a seed. And so this is a hard heart, a heart that is hardened by sin. It indulges in the things of the flesh. It takes pride in those things. It is enticed by all the pleasures and temptations of this world rather than the things of God. This is a heart that is unresponsive when the word is preached, that can hear convicting sermon, that can hear the word of God go forth and is unresponsive. These are those who maybe have already determined, I don't believe in this God. These are those who've already said, well, the word of God, it can't truly be inspired. These are those who reject these things. Notice it says, when they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. Notice first it says, when they hear. When they hear. So these are those who actually hear the word of God, but they don't embrace it. They don't love it. Even though they're hard soil, the seed is still cast on them nonetheless, and they hear. They hear it. Hearing is a privilege. It is a great privilege that also comes with great responsibility, which God will hold us accountable. The more and more you are exposed to the hearing of the word of God, the more accountable you will be for it. God will hold you accountable. The more and more you hear, either you're going to grow and be blessed, or you're going to continue to be exposed to the word of God and refuse it and embrace it, and that will just harden your heart and heap judgment upon you. This is why Hebrews 10:29 says, how much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by one who has trampled underfoot the Son of God? So it's the idea of trampling on that. It's those who have maybe heard these things, those who have maybe sat in church, who hear the word of God week in, week out, yet instead of embracing it and living by it and rejoicing in it and hungering for the word of God, they'd rather trample on these things. How much worse punishment, the word says. If you are here today, if you are listening online, everyone hears. Everyone is hearing right now. But not everyone is receiving the word the same. To some, it's falling on good soil. To some, it's falling on this hard soil that we're described in our passage here. Nevertheless, everyone is hearing. The seed is still being cast. Everyone's hearing the word being proclaimed. Either God's going to use it to sprout and be profitable and lead you to repentance and faith, or he's going to use it to harden you. Spurgeon said it this way, the same gospel which melts the wax also hardens the clay. In other words, the gospel that goes forth, that softens some peoples and softens their heart to repentance, also hardens them in their sins. I've seen this over and over in youth ministry. Kids who are there just because their parents make them. Kids that are there that are forced to, that don't care for God's word, that hear it and let it go in one ear and out the other. Kids that are just there for a show, just to check it off their list and say, okay, well, I came to church, what else do I need to do? They have no interest for the things of God. They hear it proclaimed week in, week out. Maybe that's also not just limited to kids, but also maybe some here. Some who come who want to say, okay, well, yeah, I need to go to church, okay. Yeah, this was what I was raised to do, okay. But then you hear the word of God proclaimed and you don't let it sink in. You don't embrace it. You don't let it change your life. You don't let it draw you to Christ. Instead, you let it go in one ear and out the other. Don't do that today. Don't be like this kind of soil. It is a privilege to hear, and we are called to embrace it and to obey it. This is why James says in James 1:22, "But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he is like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." And so he goes, don't just be a hearer. Don't just let it go in one ear and out the other. Actually let it sink in. Obey it. Love it. This is what God's word. Now notice what happens to those who just merely hear. Those who just merely hear, notice, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. So Satan here is likened to the birds that come and snatch the seed away. Jesus says the interpretation of that is this is Satan who's looking to snatch the word of God away from you so it doesn't bear root, so it doesn't sink in, so it doesn't bear fruit. Satan doesn't want you to embrace God's word. Satan wants to snatch it away before it's ever planted, before it could take root. Satan has been trying to do this from the very beginning. When God gives his word to Adam and Eve, what does Satan do? The very first thing, has God really said? He wants to cause doubt. He wants to cause confusion. He doesn't want you to embrace and obey God's word. And the same is true today. Satan is here today wanting to snatch the word of God away from you. He is sending his birds in various ways to take away the word. Why? Why? When the seed is planted, when it bears fruit, this is how Christ advances his kingdom. This is how the kingdom of Satan is becoming undone. This is how Christ is going and binding the strong man and plundering his goods. It's through the message that is proclaimed, the gospel, the good news. And when that is not embraced, when that is snatched away, there's no hope for that soil. There's no hope for that hearer. And so this is Satan's goal. He wants to take God's word away from you. He wants it to go in one ear and out the other and have you forget about it and rather tune into Netflix or something else. He wants to take it away from you. He wants you to doubt. He wants you to question God's word. Has God really said? Satan is at work whenever the seed is sown. He is sending his birds to snatch it away. Maybe it's in the form of distractions. Maybe it's receiving that text in the middle of the sermon and rather than ignoring it or putting it on silent, you respond, and now the word of God is not your priority. Maybe it's in the form of worries of this life or concerns. Maybe instead of sitting here and listening to God's word and letting it soak in, you're distracted by all the worries, what you have to do the next day and all that. Maybe it's in the form of things you care more above in this world or things you treasure above Christ. Maybe it's the movies. Maybe it's the sporting events. Maybe it's your favorite team that's playing. Anything that takes you off from your word, Satan is going to throw that at you to try and snatch the word of God away. This is a soil that is hard, that is uncultivated, that is not ready to receive God's word. This is the picture of whose heart is hardened by all sorts of worldly things and distractions. The gospel is no interest to this person. J.C. Ryle says this, "These are they who hear sermons, but pay no attention to them. They go to places of worship, for form or fashion, or to appear respectable before men, but they take no interest whatever in the preaching. It seems to them a mere matter of words and names, an unintelligible talk. It is neither money nor meat, nor drink, nor clothes, nor company. And as they sit under the sound of it, they are taken up with thinking of other things. It matters nothing whether it is law or gospel. It produces no more effect on them than water on a stone. And as they in and at the end, they go away, knowing no more than when they came in." My prayer is that does not describe you here today. This is not just people who are hostile to God's word, who hate God's word. It's even those who just simply don't care about it. Those who are indifferent to it. They hear God's word and think, this means nothing to me. This is pointless. This is foolishness, right? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the word of God, the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but for us who are being saved, it's the power of God. Their hearts were not prepared to receive God's word. And so may we, those who've had our hearts enlightened, may we be all the more diligent when we come to hear the word of God. May we seek to prepare our whole week for the priority of hearing the word of God on Sunday. Not to have that just be an after effect and say, oh, you know, I can't come to church because I had such a busy week. No, this should be the priority, the word of God, so we can receive it, so we can prepare our hearts for the Lord's day. For many, Jesus' words go in one ear and out the other. How are you making sure that you embrace God's word today? That it doesn't fall on a hard, stony heart like this? Or are you going to, you know, just leave this place and just forget about what you just heard? Just carry on with everyday life. Just say, oh, the check mark's been checked. Okay, I'm done. Are you preparing your heart to receive God's word? When I send out those emails, I pray, you know, prepare your hearts for this so you can receive. Does that describe you? If not, I pray that we can be all the more diligent as we seek to receive God's word. If the word of God is not a priority to you, if you're indifferent to it, if you see it as foolish or pointless, that might reveal what kind of soil you are. So we have seen the pathway soil. Now let's consider the stony soil. Look with me at verse 5. The other seed fell on the rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched since it had no root and withered away. Notice it says some seed fell on stony ground. Now this is not ground with a soil with a bunch of stones in it. Last time we talked about the area that where Jesus preached, the Jews were very familiar with it. There was the pathway that was hard, that many people traveled. And right off the side of that, you had then a thin top layer of soil that was on the base rock of limestone. And so if you ever had a seed on that part of the limestone with a thin layer of soil, you might have something sprout up for a time. But nothing's going to last because the root cannot penetrate through the limestone. And that's the same thing here. You have the strata, that layer of rock, but on top was a thin layer of soil that might have been sufficient for a seed to sprout. But it was only thin, so it couldn't continue to grow. And notice the text. It says, and immediately it sprang up since it had no depth of soil. So the seed, there's enough soil for the seed to sprout. And as it grows, the seed hits the rock and it can't spread anymore, so it spreads up and sideways. It goes up and exposes it more. So it gives the appearance of life. It's sprouted. You think you might have passed and say, hey, this is a healthy sprouting plant here. But in the end, it didn't last. Look at the text. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. So while it looked like it was doing well, then the sun came out. It was scorched. It was burned. It withered. It died. As a result, notice why. Since it had no root, it withered. So because it hit that rocky layer, the ground, the ground couldn't support that to be fertile. It appeared that way at first, but then the sun came out. It brought the heat and it withered away. The result was the same as a seed that fell along the path. In the end, the result was the same. When it came time for harvest, there was no fruit. Instead, there was a dead plant. The difference is, one never gave the sign of life, while other one looked to have life, but in the end died. Both were fruitless. So we see this. So notice Christ's explanation of this part. Verse 16. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word of God, immediately receives it with joy. So they hear the gospel, they hear the good news, and they're rejoicing, they embrace it. They're like, you know, this seems good. I don't have to go to hell because I can have faith in Jesus. I can have my sins forgiven. Excellent. This is what I want. This is what I want. I don't want to go to hell. They seem to embrace it. Maybe they even walked an aisle. Maybe they even prayed a prayer. Maybe they were even baptized. They gave all the appearance of a new believer. Luke 8:13 says they even believed for a while. So he believed. He was a temporary believer. He embraced the good news for a while. Now, it doesn't mean he lost his salvation. It just means he was never really saved. This is one who might participate in the church services. He might participate in all the weekly activities. He might even go to prayer meeting. He might read his Bible every day. He might sing. He might go to that youth conference and be stirred and made on fire. But then later on, that fire dies. And the next thing you know, he's not walking with the Lord. He heard all the benefits of the gospel and says, I want that. I want it with joy. This is great. This is excellent. But then look at verse 17. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. So the root was shallow. They endured for a little while. They gave the appearance temporarily. But then the sun rises, it comes out, and as we know, it withered away. Notice what Christ likens the sun to. Look at the text. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. So, immediately they fall away. The sun is the tribulation, the persecution. Luke 8 also adds a time of testing. So we have tribulation, testing, persecution. So maybe they came to Christ for all the benefits that it could be with them, but they never truly count the cost. They never truly counted the cost of what it means to truly follow Jesus. And once that cost came to fruition, they're like, yeah, I don't want that, and they're gone. Jesus said, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. J.C. Ryle says this, these are they who preaching produces temporary impressions, but no deep, lasting, abiding effect. They take pleasure in hearing sermons in which the truth is faithfully set forth. They can speak with apparent joy and enthusiasm about the sweetness of the gospel and the happiness which they experience till listening to it. They can be moved to tears by the appeals of preachers and talk with apparent earnestness of their own inward conflicts, hopes, struggles, desires, and fears. But unhappily, there is no stability about their religion. So the heat exposes there's no stability. Why? Because the roots cannot go down. It shows that it's really just rocky soil, that it's hard, stony soil. The sun came forth in the form of tribulations, testings, persecutions. And it revealed what was true about the soil. The soil had the fine little top layer that looked to be fruitful. But then when the sun came out, it revealed what was truly underneath. Rock. Stone. So the sun came in the form of tribulation, testing, persecution. The idea of tribulations here is distress that is brought in by outward circumstances. It can mean affliction or distress. When tribulation comes, it doesn't always move you away. It just reveals the true state of the soil. It just shows you that there's rock underneath. The heat doesn't do anything. It just reveals that the soil was never plentiful. The heat comes like it does everything else, but it just shows that the soil wasn't going to be fruitful for the plant. We all face tribulations in this life. Jesus said, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. Not if, you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So for the believer, in the midst of tribulation, they do not run, they do not leave the faith, they do not abandon it all together. They look to Christ, they cling to Him. But for this kind of soil, those who profess faith, those who are merely professors, those who give the appearance, those who sprout for a time, when the tribulation comes for them, they're gone. Tribulation has a way of sanctifying or purifying the church. All the would-be professors leave when that happens. Acts 14:21, when they had preached the gospel that to that city, they had made many disciples and returned to Lystra, Iconium, and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. So if you're a true believer, you will face tribulation. You will face hardships. That's a guarantee. It's just how will you deal when they come? Revelation 2, Jesus encourages the faithful church who is facing tribulations, and he doesn't sugarcoat it either. He says in verse 9, I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich in the slander of those who say that they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you in prison, that you may be tested for 10 days and will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers will not be hurt by the second death. So he goes, look, there's going to be tribulation. You might even die on account of this, but be faithful. Don't deny me. Don't fall away. Don't say, okay, I didn't sign up for this kind of Christianity. Jesus warned in the beginning, take up your cross. Follow me. If suffering happened to Jesus, it will happen to his followers. So tribulation, the sun is, it comes out and there's tribulation. Also, as Luke told us and Matthew told us, there's testing. So testing is the idea that it's a testing to see the genuineness of your faith. First Peter uses it this way. Testing can make people either wither away or grow or strengthen. Consider James 1, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet various trials of many kinds or testings. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And so for the believer, a time of testing isn't an opportunity to run and abandon. It's a time to grow and be strengthened. But for the would-be professor, the one who just gives the appearance, when the testing comes, he's gone. He withers and dies. Notice what else the sun is. Persecution. The idea of persecution here is a program or process designed to harass or oppress someone. So it might be in the form of persecution from family or friends. Many respond to the gospel, but then when persecution comes, it starts weaning out these false professors. Maybe when someone comes to Christ for all the benefits, but then when it costs them a relationship, they're gone. In the book of Hebrews, we see persecution. And the author to the Hebrews wants to encourage them. He wants to say, hey, if you're a would-be professor, if you've received this gospel joyously, and when persecution comes, if you're considering turning away from that because of the persecution and tribulation, don't do it. Endure. He writes to those who have embraced the gospel joyfully, but are now considering turning away. Hebrews 3, it says, take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an unbelieving heart, an evil unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as today it is called today, that none of you may be hardened in the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold to our original confession firm to the end. As it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. A faith that cannot endure the heat of the sun will wither and die. It is worthless faith. But a faith that endures is shown to be the real deal. It's the result of growing and strengthening your faith. Romans 5 says, through him we have obtained access to faith through this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope that a living God, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that sufferings produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame. Because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. We will see this next week, but the same sun that causes the stony ground and these plants to wither away is the same sun that causes the good soil plants to grow. So the sun comes out like it's promised to, like it always does. It doesn't produce anything, it just reveals the condition of the heart. The sun reveals that the root was not able to be sustained because of the condition of the soil. It revealed that there was stony rock below it. The sun revealed that the true state of the heart, tribulations, trials, persecution. And notice why this tribulation and persecution come. Look at the text. It arises on account of the word. So we as believers, we as those who profess Christ, those who hear the word of God and want to obey it, we are saying we hold to God's word. When we take a stand to uphold God's word in a world that hates God, we will face persecution and tribulation. When we hold fast to the sanctity of life in a world that boasts in the slaughter of the unborn, we will face trouble, persecution. When we hold fast to the biblical definition of marriage in a world that hates that, we will face tribulation and persecution. When we call sin for what it is, rebellion against the creator of the universe, we will face persecution and tribulation. So there will be tribulation and persecution for those who hold to the word of God in an ungodly world. And if we are faithful to the scriptures, the question is not, will we face persecution? But when we do, will we be able to endure? Or will we fall away? If we fall away, it is not that we lost our salvation. It is just this persecution and this tribulation revealed the true condition of our heart. It revealed the condition of the soil. The sun doesn't change the soil. It doesn't harden it. It doesn't do that to the soil. It just truly shows it for what it is. It reveals the soil for what it is. So we should take that and understand, look, don't just say, oh, you know, I was walking so fine with the Lord until such and such circumstance happened, until this happened to me. No, those things just revealed the true condition of your heart. It showed that you were just stony soil. 1 John 2:19, they went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they were not all of us. So when we stand to be obedient to God's word, rest assured, tribulation and persecution are not far behind. Count the cost. Take up your cross. When the heat comes, will you stand and endure or will you wither away? So, now let's just consider a few lessons and then how this applies to us. In verse 13, he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? So this is a plea to think of these things, to contemplate, to apply it to our lives, to listen carefully with these principles that Christ is teaching here, to have a carefully thinking mentality so we can apply it to the other parables. So what are things we can understand from this one? Just because there might be an initial response that seems good, it doesn't mean it's true conversion. Time will reveal if it is or not. There might be joy, there might be reception early on, but in time it will reveal if there's true faith. When the sun comes, when the persecution, when the trials come, if they endure, they might even endure for a little while, but in the end, time will tell. May we also be careful in our gospel presentation, not to give a shallow gospel presentation, not to give a gospel presentation like, hey, Jesus loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Not to say, hey, come to Jesus and you can get out of hell. Sure, that's true, but it's shallow. It's not preaching the whole thing. We don't just say, you know, Jesus loves you. We let him know what Christ said. count the cost. We let them know what it means to be a true follower of Christ. We let them know what the law requires and how Christ fulfilled it and died for that, and how we then, out of love and thankfulness, seek to obey that, and how Christ said, if you love me, you'll obey me. And with that will come persecution and trials and hardships. We don't just give the benefits, but we also teach and instruct and disciple. We don't want to just provoke an emotional reaction just so we can add numbers. When we do that, we're just producing stony soil hearers. So as we are commanded to share the gospel, may we understand that there are these two reactions. We should not think when we face these reactions, when we meet these reactions, when we're proclaiming. We should not think there's something wrong with our method. We should not think, well, we need to change our method. We need to do something to attract them. We should not think that we have to lay down our convictions to appeal to a culture that is decaying morally. We should not think that something is wrong with the message, that is insufficient. We should not think that we just have to add all these bells and whistles to try and attract them. As long as we're faithful to this message, to sowing the seed, we should trust that God will do his work through it. We should trust that the gospel is the power of salvation, but we should also understand that sometimes it's going to fall on hard soils. So we should expect these at times. Nevertheless, we should be faithful in proclaiming the gospel. Also, what kind of hearer are you? I bring this question to you again. Are you a pathway hearer? Are you one who is sitting here indifferent to the Word of God, who is letting it go in one ear and out the other, who cares more about what's going to be on TV later today than what you're hearing right now? Or are you a stony ground hearer, one who embraced it, one who embraced it with joy at first, but now you don't care about it anymore? Now, but you're looking to that past event. You're looking to that baptism. You're looking to something and saying, yeah, well, I'm a Christian. But then you look at the evidence of your life and it's just revealing you're truly stony ground. If you are one of these soils, my plea with you is cry out to God. Cry out to God to soften your heart. You cannot make yourself into a good soil. That is something the cultivator, God, the Father, must do in your heart. He must give you a new heart that is receptive to receiving God's word, embracing his truth, and give you his spirit to sanctify you and bring you more and more to the image of Christ. So cry out to him, repent and believe in the gospel, the good news that Jesus came, lived a perfect life, who then went to the cross and died a sinner's death, who then rose again from the dead and ascended. And he says, if you trust in Jesus, if you repent of your trying to do it on your own, to earn a right standing with God, and you embrace the work of Christ, you will be saved. But not only that, count the cost. Take up your cross and follow him. Maybe you do profess Christ here today. Maybe you see yourself as that good soil, but ask yourself, how will you do when the heat comes? What will the sun reveal in the state of your heart? What soil will you be shown to be? I pray that when that time comes, and it is getting closer and closer, I pray that we can be like Romans 8, like Paul. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, shall distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? No, of course not. None of those can separate us from the love of God. And so, may we keep our eyes fixed on Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith. When the persecution, trials, and hardships comes, may we be the soil that endures, that loves God's word. And may we not be the ones that fall away, that the seed falls on these hard soils that might sprout for a little bit, but in the end are gone. So what soil are you? As a seed of the gospel is sown indiscriminately, sometimes it falls on hard soils. that may even sprout for a time, but dies, which indicates the hard state of the heart, which needs to be made new to be fruitful. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your word. We are thankful that the word is sufficient, that it is powerful, that your gospel is the power of God for salvation, Lord. And we pray that as you have entrusted that to us to proclaim it to the nations and the world, Lord, we pray that you would have it have as an effect, that you would have it be fruitful, Lord. Help us also to trust, Lord. Help us not to think and we need to be creative to make it more effective, but to be faithful in proclaiming it, Lord. Help us to trust in that, Lord. We also pray when persecution and trials comes, when the heat of the sun comes, Lord, we pray that you would help us to endure. Lord, we pray that you would keep us faithful. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen.